Wow, that's a tall order to live up to. Good morning to all of you. So excited to be here with you. So excited about this message to bring and trust that God will use it to encourage, to exhort, to inspire, maybe challenge and cause some growth. What do you think? I just so appreciate that worship. Man, that third song I've never heard before, and it just so allowed my heart to sing in a new song to the Lord. I'm very grateful for it. Thank you. That was excellent. All right, so, well, you don't know me, and I don't know you all that well, but the good news is we know the Lord. How about that? And since, so I'm expecting God to use me to bring the right message. And ever since you called me, I've been praying. And I believe, Lord, several times just prompted me on this certain scripture and to develop a certain subject. So I think I've got that. And your expectation has, you know, when you come to church, you're coming expecting to hear from God. How many of you came with that You know, the Bible says expectancy is a powerful thing. You come with expectancy, and God promises whatever size of expectancy you bring, the good news is God's going to fill it. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great deal? Yeah. Well, what is expected? The scripture actually says whatever measure you bring is the measure God fills. Okay, so what's a measure? You know, we don't use that word. So let's just say it like this. Whatever container of that you expect to receive is the container God uses to fill. So I've spoken, the Lord gave me this message many, many years ago. I was teaching a Bible class, and I was challenging the students how to get the most out of a class. And when I did that, the Lord gave me this download. He said, challenge, teach them to bring the biggest possible container that they can. Tell them to get their faith out there to receive from me. So I think it was a group, I had five nurses in that one class. And they always had to stay up all night. No, they worked all day from 7, and then they came to my class at 7. So they're usually pretty tired. And then some of them would come to class, and then they'd have to leave and go work all night. And I always felt for them, but the Lord, this message was particularly for them. And he said, you, when the moment you head your car towards the service to receive from the Word of God, you set your expectancy to receive from heaven that day. No matter where you're going, whether it's church, class, online, whatever you're doing, you decide how much you're going to receive. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Now, here's the good news. If you came, you say, I don't know this speaker. Who's this guest speaker they're bringing? I don't know him from Adam. I don't even know if I like the color of his tie. As I looked around, I realized maybe I didn't even need the tie. That's my preference. But, you know, you come to a new place, you don't know. So I just said, well, I'll wear the tie. But I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to receive. So good news is, if you came with a little expectancy for today, what the Word of God's going to be, the good news is God's going to fill it. And if you came with a measure, I'm kind of expecting to receive from God, good news is God's going to fill it. Now, my suggestion as a minister, because that's the standard God uses to fill everyone, you decide, maybe you'd like to adjust the size of your container. You can do it right here on the inside. Lord, I'm expecting to hear everything you have for me today. I don't know. Some of you are already ministers in your own right. Maybe you need a container. Let's think of bigger containers. You know, I can think of a gallon pitcher. You know, we always make a gallon of tea. And if you take that gallon of pitcher and fill it all up and took it and poured it on somebody, how wet would they get? Pretty wet. But what about one of those drums, I think they're 55 gallons. How many of you got 55 gallon expectancy? You're going to go away with enough water for you, enough anointing, enough blessing, enough to give to you and several other people. Of course, my Bible school students, and I do many ministers' conferences in different countries in the world, and I always challenge those ministers. I said, you guys have a bigger responsibility. You've got to believe God for like a water tower size. You know, so you got water to feed a whole city. Whatever it'll be, the good news is you can decide. And if you came with no expectancy to get anything out of this message, then the good news is God promises to fill it. And you'll go home with exactly what you came for. So anyway, well, praise the Lord. Well, I want to take you, before I introduce my text, I'd like to get you to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You bring your Bible or your electronic device or whatever we have today. In Hebrews chapter 2, by way of introducing what I want to share with you today, I want to sort of exhort you for a second and give you a challenge. First of all, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews, which I personally do, but doesn't exactly say that, so we'll just, whoever wrote this, said to us this, therefore, we should be more attentive to what we have heard, lest we drift away. Now bump your neighbor and say, look at that. I don't want you to be one of those who drift away. Lest you drift away, for if the word spoken by angels was true, and every sin and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Wow, I love to speak on that particular subject, which was first declared by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bore witness with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and with gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his own will. This is kind of a little bit of a scripture that you got to, ooh, you know, I got to be careful. I don't want to drift away, number one. I certainly don't want to have any recompense, but I want you to pull the positive out of this scripture. There's two things here I want you to grab. No matter how long we've been saved, and it looks like some of you have been saved for a long time, some of you have been just saved, or maybe they're in the middle somewhere, but here's the thing, the scripture, Paul says to us, be careful lest you let things slip. That's another version. It says, be careful lest you let things slip away from you that you've learned before. A little bit later, he says, some of you ought to be teachers, but now you need milk again. We need to go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation. We need to go on to maturity, grow up in Christ. You know, that is God's plan for all of us to grow up and mature in Christ. That's his expectation. And he gave us this incredibly great salvation. How many of you love your salvation? Now, that particular word there is not just speaking about getting saved. That's talking about everything God provides. It's the whole, when God thought about all of this, he created salvation and healing and deliverance and blessings and everything you could possibly need. Peter says he's given to you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness through these precious and magnificent promises. Think about that. You have so many promises. Somebody counted them. I've never been able to, but they say there's 812 promises in the Bible that belong to the believers. I don't know. I haven't counted them all. I'm happy with the 40 or 50 that I know about, but if there's 800, great. Praise the Lord. The cool thing is they're all for you. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and what? And amen. What does that mean? Yes, and so be it. So when you're seeking God according to one of his promises, you can know for sure. You walk before God, say, God, I pray about this promise. And if you say, some people say, well, I wonder what he's going to answer. Is it yes, or is it no, or is it maybe? Well, forget that. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes. So the answer is yes. You know, if my kids come to me and say, Dad, can I do certain amount? Can I do these chores? What's the answer? No, son, you can't do those chores. Yes, of course. They can do all the chores they want. I'm just teasing. No kid has ever come and said, can I do these chores? God's promises are yours. They belong to you as a believer. Isn't that good news? Amen. This so great of salvation gives to us everything we need pertaining to this life, and to be as godly as God has called us to be. How many of you think we're called to be godly? Amen. Has anybody here ever read that scripture and said, yeah, right, be holy just like God is holy? Yeah. Who, be honest with me now, come on. I read that scripture, and I thought, yeah, right. Has anybody here felt the same way? Now, this is what I've learned to do when the Bible tells me something that it seems a little higher than my understanding or my ability. I have learned not to disagree with the Bible, even if I just have to shut my mouth and don't say anything. Here's why. Oftentimes, God sees a higher and bigger picture, and he knows a little bit more than we do. And sometimes he needs to teach us to get into agreement with him rather than trying to get him to agree with us. Well, there's no way I could be holy like God is holy. Really? Are you sure you want to stand on that? Are you positive you want to straw your line there in disagreement with Jesus, the Son of God? I don't know. I just decided I don't think I want to get on that side of the line. When God says something's possible, then I should just do, say, okay, or oh me, or I don't know how that's going to work. You guys remember Mary? What happened? When Mary heard the message from the angel. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't have a husband. But she didn't say it couldn't work. She says, I don't know how. She said, whatever you say, let it be. Paraphrasing. And you know what? The power of the Holy Spirit came on her, and she was able to bring forth Jesus. Now, there's another person in the Bible that kind of did it the wrong way. How many of you identify with him a little more? Somebody else also heard a word from an angel. He was the high priest in the Holy of Holies. And if you understand all of that, that is an incredible opportunity and position you're in. He's in there making the sacrifice, and the angel shows up in the Holy of Holies and says, thus saith the Lord, your wife's going to have a child. Zacharias took a different path. He didn't believe the word. In fact, he decided to draw the line and say, there's no way that can happen. I'm old. My wife is old. That's just not possible. Now, anybody know what happened to Zechariah? He got a real mask on, a mask that kept him from speaking for almost a year. Now, I don't know about you. And you know, Pastor, I think it would be if God would give us the power to, if anybody speaks unbelief in this church, that pastor would have a power to zip them. For, okay, unbelief, 1 month, no talking. I heard that unbelief, 6 months for you. Wouldn't it be great? I think we should almost wish that for ourselves so that we would not speak unbelief or come in contrary to the word of God. He says we got to be careful not to let the things slip that we've learned before. The truths that God has put into us, the revelations that we have received, and also not neglect so great a salvation as we have been given. Let me lay this thought in before I introduce the text. And don't worry, it won't take me long to preach the text. I have my little watch here. I've been told my time, so I'm good at this, getting it on time. But hear this. You know, how many of you are a little concerned about the day and the time we live in? And I just want you to know that there's no surprise here. The Bible said that in these last days, we would have stuff like this. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pandemics, all kinds of things are going to happen. But it says something very important that I want to draw your attention to, because this is where we could get our faith activated. It said, but this is not the end. It's only the beginning of the birth pains. It's just the beginning of the birth pains. However, there is something down in the, after it finishes all that stuff that's going to happen, it says something very exciting, and you and I need to pay attention to. It says the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached around the earth. I was reading a prophet, a word from a prophet who said something interesting. And don't pay attention so much to the first part. Pay attention to the last part again. He says, I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars, the churches, and the government will shut down. 1986 was this. The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it's never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the man of God into the pulpit. And out of it will come the third great awakening that will sweep America and the world. That changes the perspective, right? All of this that's going on for you, yeah, it's bad news. There's a lot of bad news going around. But as a believer, we have a different perspective. This will be a time for the good news to go around the world and for the great awakening. The one that's going to sweep the biggest harvest in the history of the earth is going to be swept in right now. Is that good?
Amen.
And that's you and I's message. We have a good news message. And so that's what I want to share with you a little bit about too. You know, terrorism has no effect without fear.
Amen.
The lion's roar has no effect without fear. If you're not afraid of it, then it has no effect. You and I have that privilege. These truly could be the best days ever for believers. If we keep our confidence. Let me read this. We get to use our faith. We get to demonstrate the power of God. We get to help other people have faith in God for the first time, some of them. We get to be full of love in a world that's starting to get more and more full of hate. We get to be the beacons of light. We get to be full of faith and not full of fear. We get to be walking in our authority. We get to not yield to the tactics or the roar of the enemy. One person said it like this: this is our time to stand up and be counted. He said, these are our days to shine, using our faith and promoting God's kingdom is the opportunity that we as a believer, as the church, are blessed with. That just inspires me. I want to take advantage of this time. I want to be a voice of hope in the midst of a lot of bad news that comes out all the time. Now, the scripture that the Lord seemed to lay on my heart to bring to you today is in Hebrews, just a couple doors down, Hebrews chapter 4. And to introduce that scripture, I'll give you, you're at 4, so let's go to 4 and just introduce this text. In verse 2, for the gospel was preached to us as well as them. Does anybody know who the them is in that passage? Who is the them that he's referring to? It's the children of Israel. And when anybody remember when they came out of Israel, out of Egypt, and they were heading where? To the promised land. Was the promised land promised? By whom was it promised? By God. And I'll share the references with you. But God promised them a amazing land flowing with what kind? Milk and honey, which is a phraseology to mean it was such a good land. In Egypt, they had to water everything by foot, which means they had to move the water. They said in the promised land, heaven would rain, and they could grow their crops by water, which to them, that was a big deal. In Florida, we don't even understand that. I mean, we say it'll rain every day. It's fun to have people. They say, do you think it's going to rain today? And we smile and say, yep, it will rain today. No problem at all. In fact, you'll have a thunderstorm. God said they were going to the promised land. And we'll talk about what happened to them. But think about this. For the gospel was preached as to us as well as to them, but the word preached did not benefit them. Oh my goodness. Because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we have believed and have entered his rest, as he said, and as he have sworn in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. So how is it possible that we could not enjoy the benefits of the gospel that we have, this great salvation that he talks about? How is it possible that we could miss out on its blessings and all of its provisions? According to this scripture, how is it possible? Because the word preached did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. Now, look at your neighbor and just check the person on your left and ask them if they're listening. If they look like they're not listening, get them a piece of paper and make sure they write some notes, because I want you to make sure they remember this before we leave. I fear this the most. If I was going to fear anything, I fear missing out on the promises, this great salvation, or letting things slip that I've already believed in the past, but letting it slip in this day and in this hour. I don't want to miss out because I do believe that this is the time for us to be taking God at his word more than ever. This is our time, truly our opportunity. Now, I understand that many of us have been challenged with a lot of fear. And if you spend time watching a lot of the news reports, I mean, those guys are peddling fear. I mean, it's part of the way they get their ratings. I mean, you got to sensationalize it. And the only way to do that, how many of you remember what it's like when a hurricane is 9 million miles away, but we start getting full 24/7 hour coverage from 9 million? After a while, you think, man, I know the coordinates by my heart. I've heard it so many times. We finally just said, you know what, we're going to turn on the weather report, period, no news whatsoever, and we're just going to listen to the tracking, and that's it. Find the coordinates and be done with it. Why? Because we were being traumatized. I mean, we'd be so filled with fear by the time we got done with all of that that you couldn't operate a single bit of faith. I find the same thing today. We've since shut all that stuff off, and we get, you know, our information so that it doesn't traumatize us, but I want Jesus, but the Bible says, will Jesus find faith on earth when he comes? And I started asking that question personally. Will he find faith in me when he comes? And I don't mean just faith in him. Of course, I believe in him. But will he find me using my faith actively, daily? And this is what's become a challenge for me from the beginning of 2019 until now. The Lord challenged me very specifically to use my faith intentionally, daily, even 7 times a day. Do you know I have an app that every time I use my faith, I have to push a button and it dings and I get a little, you know, positive reinforcement there. And it has to be pushed 7 times in a day to get my star for the day. And you know why I did that? The Lord said, put it on your calendar. I thought, that's the first time he's ever asked me to do something like that. Put it on my calendar. He said, schedule using your faith. And I now know why, but at the time I thought that was a strange, you know, maybe I missed it. This just seems weird. But now after all these months and months and months of doing that on purpose intentionally, I get it. You know, how does faith come? Does anybody know the faith lessons? Faith comes by?
Hearing.
Thank you. Hearing and hearing and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, the word of God. That's how faith comes. Now, how is faith developed?
Using.
Ah, good smart church here. Faith is developed by using it. It's very similar to, why do you have muscles that you can use today? How come you can walk around? Because when you were a baby, you started using those muscles until you were able to walk around and do all the things that you can do today. If you don't use your muscles, any nurses or doctors in the room, what happens to your muscles if you don't use them for a season? What does that mean? They get little and become useless. Isn't that interesting? Your faith is exactly like that. Your faith is either developing by use or, what'd you call it?
Atrophy.
Is that the way you say it? It's atrophy by not using it. And so if I had to pick the message today and really zero in on what is the message the Lord said, is just to remind you to not let those things slip that maybe you have walked in before, or just to inspire you even more today than ever before, that your faith is needed not just for yourself, but for the world and for all the people around you, that God is looking for those who will stand up and be counted and use their faith in a positive way. Now, there's many opportunities. We have, obviously, with COVID running around, we got our faith on our healing and our health and staying healthy. You know, jobs being lost and economics all being shook up. I mean, we think it's so strange to us in America. Many other countries have been going through this stuff for years. You got to use your faith for your provision. You got to use your faith just to not get scared, keeping the fear out. This is the time when we can rise up and use our faith take the promises of God, but not forget to mix them. You remember Israel, it didn't do them any good. They missed out on the blessing because they didn't mix with faith the promise. Now, what was God's expected response? What did he expect the children of Israel to do? Well, I'll give you a little example of what he expected them. Let's run over to, now you guys know the story, right? When Israel came out. Let's go to Numbers 13:27, just to give you a quick, I would encourage you to read all of the story of them coming out of Egypt and everything that they did right, everything that they did wrong. Okay, so Moses picks the 12 spies and they go into the land. He says, basically, go see what it looks like, you know, figure out who's there, what we're up against, what we got to face, you know, and they went and spied out the land for 40 days. There's a lot that can get done in 40 days. They come back, verse 27 says, they reported to him, we came to the land you sent us, and what does he say? Surely it flows with milk and honey. Basically, in another place, they say, it's better, even better than you told us. And this is the fruit of it. And they brought back some grapes, and they brought back some of the fruit of the land. I mean, it was amazing. They were all like, wow. How many of you think that about the promises of God? Can you imagine? What if you could walk in everything God promised you? Wow. Awesome. Now, so they come back. Here it is. Boom. It's just like you said. It's good. It's even better than you told us. Now, God promised this back in Abraham. Abraham was walking through the land, and he said, I'm going to give you this land. And Abraham built a monument. And he went on to Egypt to escape the famine and ended up there for 400 years. And then he delivered them out 400 years later to that same land. He told them when Moses is, I'm going to give you the land flowing with milk and honey. So they had promises from God. Then God did all those miracles, got them out of Egypt. Then right as they're coming out, they plundered the Egyptians. They got enough money to pay them back for the 400 years they were in slavery. That's how rich they came out. They came out really rich. And then here's another thing. Right after the Passover, did you know they all came out? The Bible says there was not one feeble one among them. Not one feeble one in 2 million plus people. Not one feeble one. That was under the old covenant rule when they put the blood over the... And, you know, we can have faith in the blood, not blood of an animal. We have faith in the blood of Christ. Amen. I believe we could have no feeble ones among us. But catch this now. I want you to see what happens here. What did God expect them to do? Well, right there in verse 28 is the first problem that we see. Verse 27 says it was really good. Verse 28 says, however. Now shake your head. Look at your neighbor and shake your head. There it goes. It's downhill from here. However, or the other one but. I believe God, but. Don't say but. Say and. However, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are fortified and very great. And also we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell there, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. And I love this. What should they have said? Here's the example. Here's what we should say. You and I could find much direction from Caleb. The very next verse, Caleb silenced them. Say, hey, quiet down. Listen. Before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it. Gosh, he makes me excited. For we are well able to overcome it. Let us go up at once, because we are well able to take this land. It's ours right now. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people because they are stronger than us. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, and they spied out in the land through which they had gone as spies as a land that devours its inhabitants. All about the perspective. And all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature, and we saw giants and the sons of Anak and the giants, and then our eyes were like grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. Wrong response. You see what happens here? Caleb heard the promise and mixed faith with it and said, we're well able, let's go right now. Whereas the other 10 did not mix faith with the promise. They disregarded the promise and they were not able to go in. Do you see that? Now Joshua responds a little differently, but I think it's worth looking at. 14:6, and Joshua was also part of the ones who explored the land. And Caleb tore their clothes at this response. And they spoke to the children and they said, the land which we passed through to explore is a very, very good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, because they are bread for us. Doesn't faith talk a little differently? Doesn't there a difference in the way they speak? They saw the same thing. They all knew they had the same promise. 2 spoke like God wanted them to do, and 10 spoke opposed to God. They drew a line and said, there's no way. Just like Zechariah, there's no way that can happen. Look what he says. Their fence is gone from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the assembly said, let's stone them. And it goes on to say how the Lord felt about that response. Now, I want you to catch this now. How does faith sound? When you hear the promises of God, it's upon you to decide to mix faith with it. Or you can decide not to. I'm here to encourage you to go back and look at all the promises that God has given to you. Maybe you've been healed before, but you're a little challenged with this whole virus thing. Maybe you've been blessed before, but now you are out of a job. None of the promises of God have ever changed. You are still the beneficiary of all the promises that God has made. Don't let that slip away. Mix it with faith. Let God hear your faith talk. I believe, and therefore I speak, is how Paul put it. That's what we learn from God. I believe, and therefore I speak. Is anybody here got born again? Let me ask you, how did you get born again? Didn't you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, confessed with your mouth, Jesus is Lord? And what happened? Miracles. I got saved on September 9th, 1981. I had never read the Bible except one time on one day. I read one page in my first 18 years of life. My parents weren't Christians. Nobody went to church. The only time I went to church before I got to Florida and went to Calvary Assembly was one time they invited me and they said they had donuts. So I went. I was 12 years old. I remember the donuts. That's it. I don't remember hearing about Jesus or anything. But when I got to Florida, my aunt told me about Jesus. And she took me to church. Now, honestly, I didn't go to church because of Jesus. She told me about this good-looking girl that I would meet. And it turned out she was my third cousin, so it didn't work out. But I got to church the first time on September 9th, 1981, and there was a guy, Rich Wilkerson, was preaching that day. And he's an evangelist. He's a pastor in Miami now, but he was an evangelist. And he presented the message the first time I heard it. I haven't done anything with God, but I believe that message. And you know what? When I stuck my hand up and I said, yes, I believe, they took me back in this room and they led me to Jesus. And this guy who was hooked on alcohol, smoking weed, and a lot of other things I'm not proud of, that day, in one act of faith, transformed my life. Praise God. That night, I took the 2 bottles of Michelob that I had in the fridge. I was surprised Mom let me have them, but I was 18, so I guess she didn't want to fight me on that. And I took them by the necks, and I dropped them in the trash. Trash day was that day, so they were empty, so I still can remember it right now. Kerplunk. That kerplunk was the last time I've ever even had a desire for alcohol in 37 years. Thank God, because before that day, I was an alcoholic. I couldn't go 3 days without drinking. That's a miracle. And a lot of other things changed in my life. Because that faith activated that promise And that power came into me. Do you know, the Lord told me later on, the same way you got saved is the way you receive everything else you'll need from me. Let's not let that slip. That simple, childlike faith. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. No, 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 Zechariah, stop it. The word always works. You and I have to change some things. If your faith doesn't seem to be working, don't go to God and say, your problem, you got a problem up there. What do we do when the radio station isn't coming in too clear? What do we normally do? We call the radio station, yo, dude, fix the station. You got to send your signal better. No, we usually adjust ourselves. Your results, God promises results if we believe him. Mix with faith. Hallelujah. Let me check the time because I want to land this ship. Ooh, gosh. Okay, we're going to land fast. Can you guys listen fast? Laid too much foundation. Catch this now. Mixing with faith. So Caleb said what he said. I want you to catch the spirit of faith. Joshua said what he said. What was he doing? Mixing faith with what he heard. The promise that God had made them. He said, we should go right now in there and take this land. And that's the attitude that you and I should have. Now let me pull you over into a gospel to David. How many of you remember David and Goliath? Did you know that David, and I've been to Israel, my wife and I got to go the year before, and I've seen this valley that where they had this battle. And Philistines on one side, Israelites on the other side. Every day they all marched out and were ready for battle. How many of you know the story? And what happened? Goliath marches out and says, I defy the armies of Israel and I challenge anyone to come. How many of you think that happened one time? Do you know, I didn't know this, but the guide brought it out, that happened 40 days in a row. I was like, 40 days. They all marched out. They did all their battle cries and Goliath comes out in Israel. And the Bible always says Israel was full of fear. Those mighty men, those mighty warriors were filled with fear until David heard it. And he gets this attitude. How many of you like his attitude? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It's a very important word. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of God? And then he goes and tells Saul, I'll take him. Saul says, you can't take him. You're just a little guy. No, 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 true. I'll take him. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. I'm able. I'll take care of him. He'll be just like one of them. All right, go, says Saul. Philistine comes out there. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, you little runt. I'm going to feed you to the birds. And I love David's response. He says, I'm going to cut you come at me with a sword and a spear? Ha, you got to be kidding me. I come in you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Man, does this guy know who his promises? He talks different. And then I love what he says next. He says, I'm going to cut off your head and I'm going to feed your whole army to the birds. He didn't just say him. He said the whole army. And you know it's exactly what happened? Exactly what David said. He knocked him down with a rock, cut off his head. And when that happened, the entire heart of the Israel soldiers came alive with faith. And they went and subdued. They said they killed Philistines from there for many, many miles. There were Philistines laying. What did the birds ate well that day? Because of one man's faith. That's how faith sounds. Now, last one. How many of you remember Jairus? You got to go to this scripture, all right? So let me land on this thought. Jairus in Mark chapter 5. I want you to catch a little comment here. Because it helps me finish this message. Mark chapter 5. Is this too many scriptures? Are you okay? Am I boring you yet? So here's Mark 5. And Jairus, let's see, let's look for it. Here it is. Verse 22, Mark 5, verse 22. One of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus saw Jesus and came and fell at his feet. And earnestly ask him, my little daughter is lying at the point of death. I ask you, come and lay hands on her so that she may be healed. And catch this, and she will live. Did you notice how faith speaks? And she will live. You come lay hands on her, Jesus, and she will live. Now, catch that, hold that thought, and let's move forward. Now, we all remember what happens on the way. There's a lady right there in the next couple verses. She said, suffered much from many physicians, and she'd spent all she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. Then she heard of Jesus. She came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his garments, I shall be healed. Now, read that in different versions. Very interesting. But basically, she said, if I touch the hem. Now, she understood what the hem meant. There's a lot of good, beautiful stuff to learn about the hem. But she said, if I touch the hem, I touch the anointing. If I touch the hem, I touch the covenant. And if I touch that hem, I'll be healed. Now, we know she pressed in through the crowd. Now, how many of you understand a crowd? Now, right now, you can't understand a crowd. We're not supposed to be in crowds. I was in New York one time. I understand crowds. I've been in Russia. I've been in many countries of the world. I've never felt more uncomfortable in a people group than in New York City. They were so packed around me. I couldn't even move three steps. In fact, I was in Macy's, and my wife and I took us 30 minutes to go from here to the door because of the crowd, how packed in it was. It was just crazy. I was uncomfortable there. So Jesus, this woman touches him. She gets healed. Jesus stops. Who touched me? I love this because you and all of us should be saying the same, looking the same way. Who touched me? You can imagine the disciples. They must have been looking at him like, what do you mean who touched you? You're in a crowd. You know, maybe the sun's getting too hot on Jesus and he just getting a little weird, you know. No, Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. What was the difference in her touching him and the rest touching him? Somebody mixed with faith the promise that she heard. And it caused power to come out of him. Now she looks around, she fesses up, I touched you, I'm sorry. Or I don't think she said I'm sorry. She says, she told him the whole story. And he said, well, daughter, my faith has made you whole. Oh, did I misquote? Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for catching that. I've been in pastors' conferences, 600 pastors, and not one of them caught that. Not my faith, your faith made you whole. What's interesting about Jesus, there's 22 healings in the Bible. Do you know at 17 of them, he always references the faith of the person, not his faith. 17 out of 22, it says something similar. Your faith has made you whole. This is important. Now, one last sub comment, then I'll land the plane. The wheels are already down. We're coming in for a landing. I'm going to finish this. Okay, you ready? I think I got 3 minutes left. Here we go. Look at this. I am responsible to hear the truth, to hear the promise. I am responsible to mix faith with that promise. And God supplies the power. Jesus looked and said, your faith, woman, has made you whole. Power was released and she got healed. What she couldn't have been healed for 18 years, she was sick like that. But something very interesting happens that will probably help all of us right after that. Right after that, they came and said, Jairus, your daughter died. Don't trouble the master anymore. Now, something Jesus says here is very, very key to many, I think, where all of us stand. We have to be careful of this. We have to be watchful that we're not letting this slip. This is important. Jairus hears the news, and the Bible says immediately Jesus turned. He heard the news too, and he turned to Jairus, and he says, what does he say? Do not be afraid, only believe. Actually, if you take that verse and get into the Woos translation and dig it into it a little bit, it says it similar to this. Stop fearing, keep on believing. Keep on believing what? Keep on believing exactly what you said. You said, if I laid my hands on her, she would live. Well, wait a minute, she died. That's the fact. She's dead, Jesus. Jesus said, don't fear, keep on believing what you said. And he held him to that. And we know that he went on and he laid hands on her and she lived. Exactly like Jairus has said. The woman got healed exactly like she said. David conquered Goliath exactly like he said and believed. Caleb went into the promised land 40 years later exactly like he said. And Joshua did too. How many of you want to be a person who takes the promises of God and mixes them with faith? Don't forget what you've learned already. Many of you have learned the lessons of faith and been walking by faith for many years. I only come to admonish and to inspire and to encourage you to keep on believing. Don't start fearing. This is our greatest time as a believer. You and I have the greatest time to take the promises of God, mix them with faith, and stand and say what he says. Don't draw a line against the word of God. Draw a line on the side of the word of God. Even if all the facts are contrary, this is our chance to show the God that we serve and demonstrate the power of our God. This is our greatest hour. Is God surprised sometimes that we don't partner with him more when we've been given such a great salvation? I wonder if he wonders at us. What are they doing? Why aren't they trusting me? Why aren't they using what I've given to them? I have given them everything they need pertaining to life and godliness. You know, Jesus was always marveling. There's only two times Jesus marveled. Do you know what that was when it says he marveled? There's a, you know, you've been around forever. Nothing much, not much gets to you, but he marveled at two things, two times, and both times it was at unbelief. Where is the only place in the ministry of Jesus where Jesus himself couldn't do mighty works? His hometown. And what was the reason? Because, you know, no other reason. Unbelief. The people would not believe the promises. They wouldn't mix it with faith. It was too common for them. You and I have that same opportunity. Let's not let that which we know slip. Let's take this opportunity that the world is facing. A prophet said this, and I'll close with this idea. He said this. He was from Poland, and he shook me when I listened to him, and so much so that I literally transcribed every word. He said the Lord showed them that this was going to happen about 8 years ago. They thought it was for another reason, but they started rebuilding their whole church with this in mind, that everything would be shut down. But he said some things, and I won't go to all of it. He says, we as the church have much to offer a shaken world and a people who lost their security in many things. We have the solid foundation. We have the promises of God. We know the God of peace. We know the Prince of peace. We know the Spirit of peace. He said, there's a mission to be accomplished right now. He said, only be close to the things that move the heart of God. He says, what do you do in a shutdown? You get close to God. You get close to the voice of God. He says, we're entering a stage as the church where we are less occupied with ourselves and our own petitions and our own requests and more about the interests of God. What does God need in these last days? Are we the church that's really ready to focus on what's important to God? Does he have our full attention? Or are we allowing fear to begin to dominate our lives? No, my friends, turn that around. Mix with faith all the promises of God. The world is supposed to have pandemics and wars and rumors of wars and economic upheaval. That's prophesied. That's given to us. We already have that information. What's important is that we share the good news of the gospel around the world. This is our greatest opportunity. Will he find faith in us on the earth when he comes? I want to say with a hearty yes. It's taken me months to really make sure I'm using my faith actively every single day. I don't know what I look like. You know, I'm not too buff in the natural, but maybe I'm getting a little more buff in the spirit. You know? And I believe you guys are too. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you'd stand with me, I saw at the beginning how we are going to close this. And in lieu of bringing everybody to the front, I want you to do something just right from your place. Now, to the world, we have Jesus. We can offer Jesus as Savior. And we can offer Jesus as healer and Jesus as provider. All of these are promises. And maybe you need something right now. And so if you just take your own hands and lay them across your heart, and I don't know, if you'd never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, The promise is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that if you believe in him, if you believe in him, you can have everlasting life. That is his promise. All you have to do is say, I believe, and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. Take it. And you can just take it right now. The Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. If you were healed, then you are healed. How do we get our language correct? I want to say it just like the Bible says it. I am healthy and I am whole. If take the promise. Say it's mine. I take it right now. And lay hands on yourself. Rebuke the devil. Rebuke oppression from the devil. You know, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Where does sickness and disease come from? It's not from God. It's from the enemy. God doesn't want, if you had a snake in your house, would you just say, oh, well, I'll just let it stay there? No, I would do everything I have to do to get it out. Stand like that in your faith. I rebuke every sickness, disease, every virus, everything that would come against this church family. I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. And we will not fear. I command fear to get out of these believers completely in the name of Jesus. In fact, opposite, we're not going to be afraid of the devil's roar. We're not going to be afraid of terrorism. We're going to be the ones who walk by faith and call upon the name of the Lord and see the glory of God fill places. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare over these people a spirit of faith like Caleb, a spirit of faith like Joshua, a spirit of faith like David, a spirit of faith like the woman with the issue of blood, a spirit of faith like Jairus. Lord, we'll not fear and start fearing, but we will continue to only believe in the promise that you have made to us. Lord, we will not side on side of the devil, not side on the side of unbelief and fear. We're going to stand on the Lord's side. Amen. And our mouths and our hearts will stay in agreement. Lord, we choose today to mix faith with every promise that you have made. And we're so grateful to you for it. And Master, I give you honor and thanks. I speak blessing over these, over every child, every person around them. We declare healing. We declare prosperity and blessing, everything they need. Thank you, Lord. Even if we don't have a job, we thank you that there is provision and that we will keep our eyes on you and on your business in Jesus' name. And Lord, I declare over everyone, these are walking lights, beacons of light in every neighborhood they go. I declare they are light and hope and the faith of God going somewhere to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?